From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, we're going to dabble with the occult. Well, I'm not going to. Our guest will. But here's what's happening. A sad sign of the times. Department store chain Macy's will close about 100 stores and increase investment in its online business after 18 months of sliding sales. Total sales fell 4% to under $6 billion in the second quarter after falling 7% in the first 3 months of the year. Department stores have been struggling with tough competition from online retailers and discount stores. Macy's currently operates 728 stores in the United States. Michael Mish Shedlock with us. Mish, it is a sign of the times, my friend, isn't it?
It is, George, and we've talked about this before, and both you and I said we saw this coming. They're closing about 100 stores. That's 15% of its total. Walmart announced plans to shut down 269 stores. Sports Authority, remember them?
Mm-hmm.
450 stores, all closed, every one of them, because they're bankrupt. You know, this stuff was widely reported. Let me give you something, George, that came out just yesterday in a BLS report on productivity. It was buried, and no one talked about this. Remember how they were bragging about how real wages, real means that they're going up after rent, after food, after gasoline, after health care? They said real wages went up 4.5% in the first quarter. Now, yesterday, in a revision, in a productivity report, buried, they said, listen to this, quote, real hourly compensation decreased 0.4% rather than the previously published increase of 4.2%. So they were off by almost 5%.
And they buried it.
And they buried it. And they wonder what people wonder why. People are angry, George. You and I see this. They buried this in a report. Did you hear anyone talk about this?
No, sir.
I didn't either.
No, sir. But you did on this show. Mish, thank you so much. You know, Republicans are again asking questions about Hillary Clinton's health while Democrats continue to insist that Donald Trump release his tax returns. Most voters still believe major White House hopefuls should make public recent tax returns, but now most also think they should release their medical records as well. Fresh questions are being raised about Hillary Clinton's health, including her mental well-being, after a new photo emerged that shows an aide holding her up, kind of propping her up at a campaign event. Clinton's health largely has been ignored by the mainstream media, but it's not escaping notice everywhere else. While there have long been questions about Clinton's health, from her tripping and falling to reports of blood clots to special glasses that she used during the Benghazi congressional hearings, it's getting new attention now because of her candidacy for president. First, let's check in with Howard Bloom, who is very astute at looking at people. Howard, something is going on with her health. I don't know what it is.
Here's the deal. The conservative media is suggesting that Hillary Clinton's health makes her unfit to be president, period. And here are some of the claims. Hillary says, this is down to outlets like Fox TV, The Drudge Report, The Washington Times, WND, and The American Mirror. They say she suffers from brain freeze, seizures, a stroke, an uncontrollable coughing fit, has early onset subcortical vascular dementia, and they claim that what's more, one of Hillary's aides carries an auto-injector of Valium. Now, how do these publications know about the auto-injector of Valium? In a photo of Hillary, they've spotted something in a security guard's hand that could just as easily have been a pen. So here's how this particular game of health gotcha is played. WND, a major source in the conservative press establishment, puts a caption on a video that says, quote, this video, posted on YouTube, shows Clinton's head suddenly turning and shaking vigorously for several seconds. But you watch the video, and you don't see any sudden head turning, and you don't see anything shaking vigorously at all. You watch another video that allegedly shows Hillary in an uncontrollable fit of head turning and shaking, and you see Clinton doing a classic double take, a perfectly normal double take, a sign of surprise. Clinton never loses the pace of the conversation or her composure. Then there's another caption that goes like this. Fresh questions are being raised about Hillary Clinton's health, including her mental well-being, after a new photo emerged that appears to show an aide holding her up at a campaign event. But you take a look at the picture, and you've experienced this, and I've experienced this because we both talk to audiences. What you see is Hillary apparently standing on the equivalent of a railing or a soapbox to address a crowd. So as she stands on this platform that's too narrow for balance, one of her bodyguards is holding up one of her hands and the other is reaching out a hand to hold her by her other elbow if he can do it. So what are the facts? Hillary suffered an elbow fracture and a concussion in 2012. In June of 2015, Clinton's campaign released a statement of the candidate's health from Lisa Bardak, MD of the Mount Kisco Medical Group. The conclusion went like this. She participates in a healthy lifestyle and has had a full medical evaluation, which reveals no evidence of additional medical issues or cardiovascular disease. Her cancer screening evaluations are all negative. She is in excellent physical condition and fit to serve as President of the United States. But meanwhile, a supposedly leaked statement that allegedly came from the same doctor made radically different claims. It talked of, quote, blacking out for short periods of time, uncontrollable twitching, memory loss, fatigue, and is the statement for real, or is it a convenient phony? Have you ever noticed that all the leaks in this campaign, the emails, for example, target Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee and not the Republican National Committee or Donald Trump? Ever wonder why? So we'll skip over how this all began, because it started last weekend with a bunch of Twitter accounts showing old photos, especially a Reuters picture from February 27th of Hillary in South Carolina, losing her balance, going up the stairs of a private home and being steadied by staffers, as evidence that Clinton has had a hard time walking. But if you've ever tried walking up the stairs of a strange home in a strange state with high heels, you can sympathize. So by these standards, Dwight Eisenhower, who had heart problems, John F. Kennedy, who had Addison's disease, Lyndon Johnson, another man with heart problems, Franklin Roosevelt, who spent his time in the White House in a wheelchair, and most especially Ronald Reagan, would never have been president. Because think about it. Ronald Reagan was 70 when he ran for president.
I know, but people just want to know, Howard, what the heck is going on? And that's why everybody is speculating now all over the place. Howard, we'll check in with you in a few days on some more stories. And, of course, I'm going to bring up a major story in a second with Dick Morris, but I want to bring Dick in real quickly because he worked with the Clintons for so many years. Dick, in your opinion, does she have any health issues?
Well, it's hard to tell that, George, because I'm not a doctor and I haven't examined her. I'm 69 too, and you know, a 69-year-old has potential health issues, and when she manifests it by falling and the blood clot and all kinds of stuff like that, she ought to release her medical records. I point out in my book Armageddon, How Trump Can Beat Hillary, that Bill Clinton never released his medical records, but he was young and vigorous and everything, and nobody took it very seriously. There's all kinds of speculation as to what he was covering up in his health records. But in any case, he didn't. But I think Hillary clearly should.
I think so, too. Now, of course, let me read this story, and then I'm going to ask you about your petition campaign. If it's any consolation, folks, the $400 million that President Barack Obama recently sent to Iran wasn't extorted from you, the taxpayer. Instead, it was money that the Shah apparently paid the United States for military equipment before he was deposed by the terror-sponsoring maniacs that were running Iran at the time. So what is going on? We'll check in with Dick Morris again, because, Dick, you have a campaign. You want the president impeached. What's going on?
Well, there clearly is a violation of law for the United States to pay ransom for hostages. That's prohibited by U.S. law. And the argument is, are we settling a debt the Shah owed, and was just a pure coincidence that the plane arrived at the same time the hostages.
And I've always said, Dick, there are no coincidences.
And of course we did it in cash because they didn't want the guy to have to go to a cash machine, and you know, a check was cumbersome and all that nonsense. It was cash because they wanted to conceal it, and so that the Iranians can spend it, because their banking system is subject to international sanctions, not because of the nuclear deal, but because of their involvement in terrorism. And sending cash to them or circumventing those sanctions is a crime. And I think that there should be an investigation as to whether Barack Obama committed a crime by doing that.
Tell us about the petition drive.
Well, I have a petition that urges Bob Goodlatte, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, to investigate this because and hold hearings on it, because I think that it's just like the Iran-Contra episode with Reagan. And I do not think that the president should be able just to do this and get away with it absolutely. By the way, while we're talking about this, I also feel that there's been major changes in the email situation. When I was on your show last time, I think three weeks ago, we discussed what Bill Clinton may have said to Loretta Lynch on the tarmac
right,
in Phoenix,
right.
And we speculated on that. Well, this week it came out that the FBI had made a formal recommendation. Three of their field officers, not just one, but three, recommended formally an investigation of bribery in connection with the Clinton Foundation, that the foundation was receiving money in return for favors by Secretary of State Hillary. And this week, Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General, turned them down and said there will be no criminal investigation. And I think it's a, first of all, I think that's outrageous. And secondly, I think there's a very good chance that that's what Lynch and Clinton were talking about on the tarmac.
Could be. And then one more question here, Dick. A lot of people are speculating now on the deaths of so many people that have surrounded the Clintons in some form or fashion. And now Julian Assange from WikiLeaks is saying that one of the people who was murdered in Washington was one of his sources for leaking information. What's going on there?
Yeah, I talk about this whole shadowy history of the Clintons in my book, Armageddon. By the way, number three on the bestseller list. But this is really something that's very serious. This is a guy named Seth...
Rich, right?
Rich, that's right. And he was a paid staff member of the Democratic National Committee. And on July 8th, about 2 weeks before the Democratic Convention started, he was found shot in the back, murdered, on the streets of Washington.
And it was not robbery. Nothing was taken from
his
him.
His credit card, his wallet, and his watch were all intact. He had all his cash. And there is speculation, informed speculation, that he had an appointment at the FBI to discuss the issues about the Clinton Foundation and to discuss the email leaks. And then Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, said, I can't identify my sources because that would really screw me up, but our sources undergo enormous risks of witness the killing that took place in Washington. And then the reporter said, well, that was a robbery, wasn't it? And he said, no, it's been proven that it was not a robbery. And like I said, I can't tell you who our sources are, but our sources undergo great personal risks to give us information. So obviously he was making that connection.
That's right.
And these emails were essential, were terrible for the Clinton campaign because they aggravated the Bernie Sanders people and made the point that this whole thing was fixed and the Democratic National Committee that was supposed to be impartial was in fact rigging the process to defeat Sanders and get Hillary the nomination.
You know, I've never seen a campaign, a presidential campaign, so nasty and so up in the air, Dick, as this one. Have you?
I think you're right about that. And I think the reason is that it really is not a campaign on issues. It's a campaign on two very strong, very assertive people who are running against each other. I think that the public doesn't like either of them. But I think that what happens is that at some point it looks like Hillary is going to win, and people say, oh my God, with all that corruption, I better look at Trump. And then they say, Trump is going to win. Oh my God, he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. Maybe
yeah.
I ought to look at Hillary again.
Back and forth.
And I think there's a real back and forth volatility here. But I think there is one big difference. I think Trump is learning a little bit of discipline. I think he's no longer saying crazy things. The Second Amendment thing is borderline crazy, but there's an excuse for that. But I think that in the last 2 weeks, he hasn't said anything really outrageous.
He's not a good impromptu speaker. That's his biggest problem.
Yeah, he shoots himself in the foot when he does that. But I think that Hillary can't erase what she's done. And Trump can clean up his act in terms of what he's doing. And I think that the whole focus here has shifted back to the emails, because the emails now show a clear pattern of corruption. There's one email where Bill Clinton's chief of staff contacts Hillary Clinton's chief of staff and says, hey, I have this donor to the Clinton Foundation who needs a meeting with the ambassador to Lebanon. Can you guys set it up? And she says, yes, and he says, hurry. And then they set up the meeting.
And it's done.
And the guy in the foundation gave $5 million to the foundation right around the time the meeting was arranged.
Go figure. Dick, you're going to be with me on election night, by the way, right?
Yeah, and I hope before.
Okay, my friend. Be well. Dick Morris, his website, of course, dickmorris.com. Worked with the Clintons for years. Knows a lot about what's going on. Well, the government has refused again to allow the use of marijuana for medical purposes. Big mistake. Reaffirming its conclusion that the drug's therapeutic value has not been proven scientifically and defying a growing clamor to legalize it for the treatment of a variety of conditions. I have for years researched and studied this with a number of guests who have been on all of my programs from St. Louis on. They cannot take prescription drugs, but medical marijuana has helped their lives, has saved them. Big mistake by the government. Maybe it'll change. Okay, in a moment, pharmacist Ben joins us. Ben Fuchs, get ready for an hour and a half of health news from criticalhealthnews.com. Here's that toll-free number to give you information. It's not to get on the show. We'll take calls next hour, but it's to chat with people who can help you. That's 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO, or criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back. Pharmacist Ben with us from Critical Health News. We're going to talk with Ben Fuchs about a lot of things that affect you. I've got a whole handful of emails from people that have been sending them to me for the last couple days once they realized Ben was going to be on the program. He's a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, cosmetic chemist as well. He's been compounding custom medications for years and years, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Ben, thank you again and welcome.
Good to talk to you again, George.
What are your thoughts on the U.S. government refusing, affirming its position on medical marijuana, saying once again it hasn't been proven scientifically to work? I know cases from people who have been on programs that I've done who swear by it.
Well, yeah, not only that, but the drug companies are working on creating patentable medicines for marijuana. That might be one reason why the government doesn't want to
follow the money, huh?
That's exactly right. The fact of the matter is, I have seen people benefit from medical marijuana for pain, for cancer. I've seen animals benefit from marijuana and marijuana extracts for cancer. There's a particular extract called CBD. I don't know if you've heard of that. That's available.
Mm-hmm.
That's got wonderful, incredible pain-relieving properties. You know, marijuana, the active ingredients in marijuana are made in your brain. They're called endocannabinoids in the brain. And in fact, one of nature's most powerful building foods, in fact, the most powerful building food in nature is loaded with these substances that are called endocannabinoids. I'm talking about human breast milk. You know that kind of peaceful look the babies have while they're nursing? Guess what? They're stoned. No, I don't know if they're stoned. I don't know.
They're relaxed.
They're relaxed, right. They're getting endocannabinoids in the breast milk. We learned about endocannabinoids in pharmacy school 30 years ago, and it always fascinated me that the brain would make the very same compounds that are found in a weed that grows out of the ground abundantly. And how dare the government tell us that we can't do what we want to do with a weed that grows out of the ground?
Well, you may be onto something, though, about the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
Creating a derivative from marijuana, and of course that's how they're going to make their money.
And they're going to make a lot of money on it because the stuff works.
It does work. It even in some cases, does it not help you fight cancer?
Yes, absolutely it does. It activates what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the body's relaxation nervous system And under conditions of relaxation, we fight cancer. This is so important, George, because we got a healthcare system that's broken. It's an absolute disaster. But the fact of the matter is that our body fights cancer. Our body fights disease. Our body heals itself. Our body regenerates tissue when tissue is broken. In fact, the bone is always stronger at the point of the break. But all of these healing systems slow down or even shut down when we're under stress.
That's it. Big point. Ben, stay with us. We're going to come right back on Coast to Coast AM as we continue talking with you about health, criticalhealthnews.com. That's the website, the toll-free number, 1-855-949-RADIO. Just remember that, 1-855-949-7234. And when you go to the website at criticalhealthnews.com, look at the incredible offer that they have available to you. They are waiving a nominal fee. You'll see why. Indeed, we are. Asheville, North Carolina is right around the corner. Executive producer is Tom Danheiser. Tommy, those seats are going fast. Huh?
They are. We just had a tech meeting today. Everything's in place, and this is going to be cool.
Now, when you say you have a tech meeting in place, what does that mean?
Well, it means we talk to the theater production manager and make sure that the equipment to, you know, play video or play audio or your microphone is working or the guest mic. And there's plugins and machines that you need. So,
and don't forget the band and the music and all their stuff.
Of course, the band.
Well, good. So there's still some seats left. Not a lot. It's a quaint small theater, but go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Click the Asheville, North Carolina event section. You'll see it right there. You'll get into the theater's website. Look for August 27th. Click that. And then off you go to pick your own tickets. But we're going to have a meet and greet after the event, and that's fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting all of you. Okay, welcome back to Coast with pharmacist Ben. Ben Fuchs with us at criticalhealthnews.com, phone number 1-855-949-7234. They are partners and sponsors, obviously, of our show, but let me tell you something. They have helped so many people. It's absolutely staggering. I can't come up with a number, Ben, on how many people have been helped through criticalhealthnews.com.
It sounds crazy. It sounds like unbelievable. But if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it either. But I've been seeing it for 20 years almost.
Yeah, you've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, and it's mind-blowing. When you go to these conventions, they have annual conventions at Youngevity. When you go to the conventions, you see dozens, if not hundreds, of people who've lost massive amounts of weight, who've gotten off their prescription drugs, who were on walkers months before and aren't on walkers. I mean, really borderline miraculous stuff. So close to miraculous that you can't even really talk about it because it sounds too good to be true.
What is it about supplements and the body?
Here's the deal, George. The body is so beautiful. The sicker we are, the faster we turn it around. The more weight we need to lose, the faster the pounds drop off, and the more nutritionally deficient we are, the faster the body absorbs those nutrients, like a dry sponge sucks up more water than a wet sponge. And because most of us are so woefully deficient in the basic essential nutrients, as soon as they come into the system, as soon as they enter into the body system, health markers change, and almost instantly. And it's simply because the body is geared to suck up nutrients like a dry sponge sucks up water when it's in a deficiency state, and most of us are in that deficiency state.
I'm going to go through some emails as we continue chatting, Ben. Next hour, we'll open up the full phone lines for you. But Sarah writes, and she wrote me earlier today, and you're not a doctor. Let's qualify that. You're not a doctor. Dr. Wallach is a doctor. He's a veterinarian, but he deals with so many things. He's as good as a physician.
He's a naturopath also.
Exactly. But Sarah says that she has liver cancer. Yes. She's been taking healthy start packs, and she's wondering if liquid is better than capsules. But what do you do when you got liver cancer? That's pretty serious.
Pretty bad, but here's the deal. With cancer, it's not as important. The organ or the structure is not as important as the fact that the body, the disease itself is occurring, that the body is breaking down. Cancer is the manifestation of long-term burden on the body, particularly burdens of toxicity, lack of oxygen, and a lack of nutrition. And so the strategy for dealing with cancer is to calm the body down, to activate the relaxation nervous system that we talked about before, and to give the body the raw materials it needs to do its work. And to understand, George, this is very important, regressions do occur. They call them spontaneous remissions. They've been in the literature for centuries. They occur. And even the most dire cancers, like pancreatic cancer, they talk about 95% of the cases end in early demise, early death. That means 5% of people will survive it, at least past the five-year survival rate that is the marker of cancer survival. So you don't want to get into the state of mind where you just give up. That's where we run into problems. You want to keep in mind that if you give the body the raw materials it needs to do its work, it will do the healing work, as evidenced by hundreds of years of so-called spontaneous remissions. We fight cancer every day. The human body fights cancer every day. Our cells turn cancerous on a daily basis. When we get diagnosed with a full-blown case of cancer, what we're witnessing is long-term burden from lack of oxygen, lack of nutrition, accumulation of toxicity. Remove those burdens and allow the body to do its built-in healing work, which it's fully equipped to do. We have cells called natural killer cells. We have chemicals that shoot cancer in this Star Wars scientific type fashion. Cells are programmed to kill themselves when they turn cancerous. There are dozens of different anti-cancer mechanisms that are built into the body. Our job, if we have cancer, is to facilitate the work of those mechanisms by calming the body down and providing the body with the nutrients that it needs.
When somebody comes down with something, whatever it might be, the flu, just about anything, the body does need some help, though. It needs a little boost. It can't do it all on its own. Why not?
The boost it needs is just the raw materials that it's evolved over millions of years to utilize, specifically nutrition, oxygen, water, and a clean place to do its business. The body really doesn't need a heck of a lot. And I'll tell you one thing it doesn't need, George. I'm telling this as a registered pharmacist. It doesn't need drugs. In fact, while drugs may be occasionally important, such as antibiotics or perhaps pain pills, in the long run, prescription drugs put an added burden on an already stressed out body. So perhaps you need prescription medication occasionally, but you certainly don't need it chronically, especially in light of the fact that there's no such thing as a drug deficiency disease, but there are a lot of nutritional deficiency diseases. There's a lot of diseases that are associated with lack of oxygen, and there's a lot of diseases that are associated with toxicity, including sugar. And when it comes right down to it, those are really the only three things that can ever go wrong in the body: toxicity, hypoxia, which is a lack of oxygen, and a lack of nutrition. Which is so powerful, George, because what it says is that by understanding how to nutriate the body appropriately, by keeping toxicity out of the body, particularly sugar, and by providing the body with enough oxygen to fuel all of its biochemistry, the body is a perfectly running machine once it has these criteria met.
Okay, this one in from Gotta Love It. That's her email name. Love the show, George. Question for Ben. I've got Bell's palsy.
Okay.
I've had it for 4 years. I can't smile. It takes a toll on me. I love to smile, but I feel like a very beat-up person. Doctors tell me that it just takes time. I'm starting to get down in the dumps. What's going on?
Well, don't get down in the dumps. If I had to tell a sick person one thing, it would be not to get down in the dumps, to understand that the body is a healing system and that healing is part of its nature. So all we got to do is remove the toxicity, put the nutrients back in the body, and take care of the oxygen. Bell's palsy is a paralysis of the muscles of the face. It has to do with inflammation and nerve damage. Inflammation, which is behind all chronic long-term degenerative health issues, including palsies, is a manifestation of the immune system, which is the body's protective system. So whenever you hear the word inflammation in your disease state, or if you're taking an anti-inflammatory drug, or if you're dealing with any chronic long-term degenerative disease which involves inflammation, you're dealing with the end result of the body protecting itself. So the only question we need to ask if we're going to reduce that inflammation and resolve the inflammatory degenerative diseases that are associated with that, the only thing we have to ask is, what is the body protecting itself from? What is getting into the system inappropriately? And you'll always find, unless you're an IV drug user and injecting something through your skin, you'll find that the protective response is almost always a manifestation of something getting into the blood through the digestive system. And this is why, when it comes to long-term chronic degenerative diseases, all roads lead to the digestive system. This is the first thing we have to approach, and we approach it from two directions. Number one, by not putting things into the digestive system that put a burden on it, and number two, by using nutrients that help protect and soothe and enhance the healing process of the digestive system. One of the all-time great digestive system foods, George, is chicken soup.
Oh, yeah. We always used to think Mother knew best, right?
Mother knew best. But I'm not talking about Campbell's, right? I'm talking about homemade chicken soup where you get the cartilage factors from the bones. The cartilage factors from the bones are some of nature's most powerful medicine. And by the way, they're powerfully anti-cancer. There was a book that came out a few years ago called Why Sharks Don't Get Cancer. Perhaps you remember
I remember that.
Remember that back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Well, that was about the anti-cancer benefits of cartilage. Well, we've known about cartilage in the pharmacy business for eons. In fact, it's a part of the pharmacopeia. If you go to the U.S. pharmacopeia, you'll find cartilage as a tried and true remedy. Well, cartilage doesn't just help fight cancer. Cartilage also helps repair the digestive tract. It also helps fight wrinkles, for that matter. So something as simple as chicken soup can be powerful, powerful medicine for the digestive tract as well as for the immune system. Algae, another powerful medicine. Seaweed, another powerful medicine. And all of these medicines that help build the digestive tract also help fight cancer and strengthen the immune system. These are all wonderful strategies that we have at our disposal that don't require medical intervention, that don't require Obamacare, that don't require waiting in line at the pharmacy. And that's really what this is all about, George. It's about empowering the individual, against the institution. Throughout history, the individual has always been pitted against the institution. By leveraging things like bone soup or seaweed or nutritional supplementation or reducing your sugar or fasting, we can take our power back from the institution. And that's really what this is all about.
Well, with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com, 1-855-949-RADIO. We'll take real phone calls with him next hour as well. Ben, when you went to pharmacy school and got out, at what point did you get disillusioned?
Great question. I started to become disillusioned in pharmacy school. I've often told the story of the movie we watched where there was an hour-long movie where the first 15 minutes of the movie was about how wonderful this drug was, and the last 45 minutes of the movie was a lady reading the side effects and reading them very rapidly. There were so many side effects. So I had an inkling that there was a problem when I was in pharmacy school. But you know what, George? I have to admit, when I graduated pharmacy school and went out to work in the drugstores, I was getting paid for the first time in a long time.
And it felt good, didn't it?
It felt good, right? But after about a year and a half, I started to notice that the same people were coming back for the medicines. It was a small group of people. They were the oldest among us, and they were the youngest among us that were getting all of the medicines, and nobody was getting better. And people were being put on medicines for side effects from the first medicine. They were put on second medicines for the side effects from the first medicines. So I started to recommend things that I learned in pharmacy school, nutrients and vitamins and minerals that I learned about in pharmacy school for things like colds and arthritis. I'd recommend essential fatty acids for arthritis or probiotics when somebody was taking antibiotics, and I was getting results. So all of a sudden, it dawned on me, I had drank the Kool-Aid. There was this whole other modality of healing that didn't require a doctor intervention, that didn't require going to the waiting in line at the pharmacy. That's something we all had access to, and this was the 80s. There wasn't a lot of understanding about how these things worked. So I started my own pharmacy. I started a pharmacy where we didn't have drugs. It was only skincare, and it was nutrition, and I had it for many years. And it was a compounding pharmacy where I made all the medicine, and the only thing that people got were things that I made or nutritional supplements.
See, that's a real pharmacist as far as I'm concerned.
That's how I looked at it.
So I got an email in from Darlene, 66 years old, and I got to tell you, she's given me a list of supplements and things she's taking. She's doing it right. But She still suffers from osteoporosis, dental disease, carpal tunnel. She's got psoriasis.
Okay.
She's got a neck injury. She's got swelling of her lymph nodes. She said, what am I doing? And she says she has sugar cravings.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What's wrong?
We can take care of her one fell swoop. I'll tell you. And I get letters like this all the time where there's multiple symptoms. When you have multiple symptoms, you want to think of the symptomology, all the various symptoms, as the leaves on a tree. How many leaves are in a tree? I don't even know. 100,000.
Oh, who knows?
Right, exactly. Say 100,000.
I haven't stopped to count them.
If you had a tree and you had fungus on every leaf, right, a different color fungus on every leaf, would you treat the problem by approaching the leaf? No, you'd go to the root.
No, you'd think something's wrong with the base of the tree.
Yes, and you'd affect every one of the leaves. So when you see multiple symptoms like this, and I see it all the time, what you have to do is go down to the root. And the root to all chronic degenerative diseases are three. We talked about one, and this is the first place you have to always approach, and that's the digestive system. So for a gal like this, what I would tell her to do is fast for 3 days. All right? Now, what a fast will do is we'll immediately cut off the stream of toxicity.
It's a cleanse.
That's a cleanse, exactly. And for most people, when they fast, they will feel better. Now, a lot of people are out there thinking, oh, I can't fast. I'm going to be tired, and it's going to be hard on me. What you'll find is if you're sick, when you fast, all of a sudden the body can now divert resources from the digestive process to the healing process.
Interesting, because sometimes, Ben, I know that when I've decided to fast for like a day and just drink water, I feel like I have more energy and I haven't eaten.
Yes, because you now have resources that are being directed to your muscles and being directed to your brain and being directed to your heart away from the digestive system. George, it comes down to this. Would you rather digest your food or would you rather think creatively? Would you rather digest your food or would you rather have more energy? Would you rather digest your food or would you rather fight cancer? I'm not saying not to eat. You obviously have to be nourished, but caloric restriction, restricting calories, and intermittent fasting periodically.
Doesn't hurt you at all.
No, not only doesn't hurt you, they're the two most powerful health strategies you could ever employ, and not only do they not cost you anything, George, you make money while you're doing it.
How about a little lemon water when you're doing this?
Lemon water is great, too. Absolutely.
So you said digestive system, but you said there are two other things.
That's correct. I call this the triangle of disease. The first place is the digestive system. The second point is the blood sugar system, and the blood sugar system starts to go awry after the digestive system breaks down. And by the way, George, for most of us, the digestive system begins to break down as soon as we're born. For most of us, especially people my age and your age, people in our say 40s, 50s, 60s, because they didn't really know about the importance of breast milk, or they didn't realize. They've known it for centuries, obviously, but it wasn't in the culture. People our age, it was considered to be old style to breastfeed. It was considered the modern mother used formula. So we suffered from digestive system breakdown at a very early age because breast milk is supposed to, one of its jobs is supposed to grow the digestive system. Once the digestive system starts to break down and we don't process energy correctly, the next step in this triad, this triangle of disease, is the blood sugar system. The blood sugar system is our energy system. And it's no accident that behind every chronic degenerative disease, after digestive problems, you have blood sugar problems. So the second step after you control, you take care of the digestive problems, is you stabilize the blood sugar. And there's many ways to do that. Good fat stabilizes the blood sugar. More protein stabilizes the blood sugar. Laying off of cereals and fruit juices and desserts and obviously sweet foods stabilizes the blood sugar. More fluids, particularly more water, stabilizes the blood sugar. The B complex and the electrolytes stabilize the blood sugar. George, the very nutrients we need for our blood sugar, the B vitamins and the electrolytes, are urinated out by most of us every day. So we're all unless we're supplementing, we're all running deficient in our sugar metabolizing nutrients. And then the third step, once the blood sugar system breaks down, the third point and the jumping off point to all chronic degenerative diseases is what I call the adrenal thyroid complex, or the adrenal thyroid axis. The adrenal glands are your stress glands, George. And when the adrenal glands kick in, long-term, chronically, we don't heal. We don't recover. We don't sleep well. We are jittery and moody, and we just don't feel good.
And from that point, you go into low poor thyroid functioning, and following that, you get heart disease, you get cancer, you get autoimmune diseases, every single chronic degenerative disease you can name. And the reason why the medical model fails at treating chronic degenerative diseases is because it doesn't address the triangle that's underneath: the digestive system, the blood sugar system, and the adrenal system. And the good news about the triangle is, while there's no drugs that can take care of the triangle of disease, lifestyle choices like nutritional supplementation, relaxation, exercise, eating correctly, making sure that you've got your spiritual and mental and emotional game in order, all of those are how you address this triangle of disease.
That's the way to do it. And we're going to come back in our final hour with Ben Fuchs, and we're going to take your phone calls. Maybe we can give you some advice. CriticalHealthNews.com. The phone number to call to get advice, not for the radio show, is 855-949-7234.